I was a bit skeptical as to how physio fits in golf. Like you hear, like Tiger Woods, however many injuries he's had over his career, you always hear missing tournaments. After being on this placement, you realise that there is a place for physio within golf.
Having a physio there, just someone to talk to. Injuries can be mentally draining on people, especially if they rely on things like golf for their enjoyment, for their socialising. Obviously, as physios, we are also encouraged to help with the mental side as well.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to what is a very special and quite unique episode of the Golf Yourself Healthy podcast. I am joined here by two lovely human beings in the form of Matthew Cope and Harvey Elliott, who we are going to hear from a bit more in just a moment and get to know them and why they're here on the podcast today. But just let me set the scene for you, our listener, and kind of just to give a flavour of what this conversation is going to be all about. So if I think about some of the things that we care about most at Golf Yourself Healthy, I mean, first and foremost, we do very much believe that golf is a game for everyone. The health and well-being benefits of golf are becoming more and more well known, and there's probably still more that can be done to promote that. I think one of the things that sometimes, whether it's a lack of awareness around that health and well-being benefits of golf, and or it's certain perceived barriers to entry, let's call them, that people see that will cause certain people who aren't yet golfers to rule themselves out of trying golf because they think they don't belong there, or they just think it's not for them, or they think that golf is just a game for a certain demographic. We care about breaking that stereotype or that stigma at Golf Yourself Healthy, and very much care about having people on the podcast who are coming into the golf world, the golf industry, to try and bring fresh perspective, think more creatively and innovatively. And I very much believe that Matt and Harvey today are going to be able to lend their perspective on that. I think another key thing before we get into this conversation is to say that for anyone that loves their golf, one of the worst enemies that there is to any golfer is injury. Injury can happen to anyone at any stage in their life. It can be really demoralizing for a golfer who uses golf for their health and well-being when they can't play it because they've been injured, for example. And so physiotherapy as a form of treatment has a role to play in helping golfers to overcome injuries, perhaps even prevent injuries, or just be at their best in golf and in life. But I'm no expert on that. That's why I brought the experts on to talk about that, basically. So Matt and Harvey, welcome, first and foremost. Let's get to know a little bit about you two. If either one of you or both of you wants to just say a brief word on kind of almost how the three of us have ended up here today, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm Matt, full time. I'm doing my master's degree in physiotherapy at Sheffield Hallam University. So I'm in my second year out of two. So it's the final year now. And me and Harvey are both on our third placement. This is why we've come to this. And yeah, it's more of a leadership and research placement, so less hands-on, but more delving deep into the physiotherapy world, the research behind everything, and becoming more confident in becoming leaders as well. So yeah, one of our educators, Nat, who is the owner of Briarley Forest Golf Club, we're under her supervision at the moment, and I'm sure she came in contact with you to try and set this podcast up, set this episode up, and that's how it came about, really.
Fabulous. That's very good. And we'll build on that in just a moment, Matt. So tell us a bit about you, Harvey.
So yeah, I'm Harvey. And then similar to Matt, I'm on my second year of the Masters in Physiotherapy at Sheffield Hallam. And again, as Matt said, it's third placement. But the other two previous ones were clinical settings. So this one is obviously completely different, but it allows you to get more hands-on into the research type thing, actually look at sort of what's going on, and then especially within golf, like I played golf beforehand. This is, or recently started golf, should I say, about 6 months ago. So then this is helping me. I'm still in the learning stage, and obviously reading all this is obviously then in my head trying to trigger that and use what I'm learning to try and make me better at golf. So yeah, it's all interesting. Then I'm also telling my friends about everything I've learned and all that, seeing if they listen. It's hard to get them to listen, but
Well, there's time. Keep chipping away at them, Harvey. And that was a golf pun as well. Didn't even mean it. Away. I just can't help myself sometimes, guys. I'm sure my listeners know that by now. I tell you what, let's dive a little bit more into the. You've had two previous placements, both of you, if I've just heard you right. And as Harvey just said, they were, and what I've gathered from getting to know you guys and Nat Matchett, who you mentioned, Matt at Brierley Forest Golf Club, is typically for yourselves in this master's degree that you're doing, your placements would typically be in clinical settings. And so it was, for want of a better word, somewhat unusual to have a placement in a golf club offered. I wonder then, the very first time that the three of us met, spoke online, I heard this soundbite from you, which sort of said, on first glance, it felt a bit, almost like not odd, but, you know, it kind of made you think, golf, how or why would we need or get benefit from doing a placement in golf? And so I'd love for you both to kind of reflect on that pre-placement mindset and then now post-placement, because you've just finished a week or two ago, haven't you? So I guess what have you taken away? What have you learned? And ultimately, how do you look back on that placement that you've had at Brierley Forest?
I think, well, first of all, pre-placement, I was quite excited because I do play golf myself. I've played it on and off for many years now. Working in sport myself, I understand it's a sport as like any other is, that there is injuries that occur. There is a lot of force that goes through the body. I've learned now that there's actually a lot more than I thought there was. And there's a lot more injuries that sort of can occur through this big movement like the golf swing is and complex movement that it is. So I was excited to sort of delve deeper into that. Obviously having a bit of a golfing background and obviously the sort of the sports therapy and physio background that I have, I was excited to sort of combine the two and sort of delve deeper into it really. I don't know if what Harvey's sort of perceptions were.
Pre-placement, I was a bit sceptical as to how physio fits in golf. I just thought, it'd be like you hear, like Tiger Woods, however many injuries he's had over his career. You always hear missing tournaments. I just thought that would be the physio side. But then obviously, after being on this placement, having talks with a biomechanist and everything, you realise that there is a place for physios just to also improve like the technique on ball strike and improve club head speed, like set up training programs and stuff to improve the club head speed. So it's all just made me realise that there is actually a place for physio within golf, because I know we're on a physio course, but I just thought it'd be injuries.
Interesting. If you look back through the course of the placement, do you want to say just a little bit more about like what projects, what topics were you two looking at during the placement? Because again, I think all in all, there were a really decent number of students that you were accompanied by on that placement, right? So you had a selection of students both from Sheffield Hallam, but also Nottingham, I think, as well, right? And so I know when I spoke to you all before, you know, you'd all kind of been, if I'm not mistaken, like paired up, and, you know, some were looking at things like maybe diversity and inclusion in golf, others were looking more at that kind of like therapeutic side to it, or, you know, physiotherapy, for example. So what did you two specifically get involved in your placement?
So me and Harvey were actually paired up in our group project. We had, so in theory, Nat wants us maybe possibly open up a physio clinic within the golf club in the future. And so that's what a lot of the tasks were aimed around, was helping set that up. And our task was to come up with a lot of templates and assessments for the physio who's going to work there. So you've come up with templates for subjective assessment, objective assessment, maybe some rehab plans, basically just documentation that the physio can use that they've got to hand that makes the process a lot smoother and also helps with record keeping, that sort of stuff. And then we went into sort of maybe doing some SOPs, so like standard of practice, putting something like that together for different assessments. And then also thinking about later down the line of all like the different equipment we want to implement into the practice itself. And then coming up with sort of ways we can use that and how it's going to benefit her members, future members, and just golfers in general as well, really.
Yeah, and then there was some of the other ones were, again, similar to what Matt said about wanting to start up the business. It was like a business plan, you know, like what insurance you'll need, what equipment you'll need, how much all this costs, all. So Nat sort of has an idea for if she does want to start it up. Then there was one which looked at a warm-up, didn't they, Matt, which was like, they produced like a 10-minute long video of golfing warm-ups just to try and prevent injury beforehand. And then that was also coupled with research evidence on how important a warm-up is in golf. I'm trying to think of some of the others.
There was the women inclusion one, looking at the existing sort of big names within female golf and sort of what they're doing to sort of try and encourage these girls, these women, try to get play in the sport.
Yeah, which then we did a bit of research individually, didn't we, all of us, on women in golf, and then also improving availability for disabled people to get in golf, which there was a task with Sports for Confidence in the UK, which essentially is, for those that don't know, it's a company that is set up with public health, like health professionals, which is linked closely to leisure centres, and then trying to get people with disabilities in so everyone can play golf, or not just golf, sorry, just sports in general. And then they wanted us students to sort of set up a golf program for them, so then they can start getting more people into golf and looking at that way.
Yeah, let's unpack some of those a little bit more in just a minute. Now, Harvey, you were talking about the importance of warm-up in golf. I love that one. It's been talked about a bit on this podcast before. Yeah, I had a physio, a friend of mine, Ed Voss, who was on this podcast in season two of this podcast. And we were both talking about how a lot of golfers will shy away from doing warm-ups because they don't want to look like a prat, basically. Like, they're kind of on the first tee and it looks a bit kind of, it looks, again, to use a word, it looks odd. And only because I think it's not happening that much, or you're not seeing it happen that much. So I guess if we just touch on that one briefly, in whatever research that either of you or both of you have done on that one, what were the headlines you took away? What did you learn? Like, what was the data tell us?
So the one that always stands out to me was, I think this got touched on a lot within, I think everyone found this paper, and it was essentially saying that, I think it was just doing a functional resistance warm-up for, I think it was 10 minutes. And within, I think it was 7 weeks, the clubhead speed had already improved by 24% just for doing that from 7 weeks before golf. And that 24% of clubhead speed is quite a big amount, isn't it, when you think about it?
Can you share that paper with me, please?
I will do.
I feel I need to read that one. Yeah.
But then I think after just 2 weeks or a week of doing that warm-up, clubhead speed had improved by 7%. I think so even just after a small, minute amount of warm-up, your clubhead speed was improving. So that was the one that jumped out to me, and I think I'll remember.
Yeah.
For as long as I play golf, like, why to do a warm-up, really?
Yeah, one thing that sort of stood out to me was, I can't remember the exact amount, but just sort of doing a few practice swings on the back of the tee box before you go step up to hit your shot. Yeah, again, I can't remember the exact amount. I'd have to go over the paper again. But doing that compared to doing nothing, the sort of the straightness of your ball improved by 50%. So just doing a few sort of practice swings, I can't remember the theory behind it, more sort of like potentiation, I'm assuming, and just sort of filling the rhythm. Yeah, sort of improved sort of the line of the ball by 50%. So people hitting more fairways off the first tee. Like, for me, the first tee nerves are real, and I'm sure you've heard them before, and they do sort of get to you. So just something like that, that's actually evidence-based, is quite sort of improves your confidence around it quite a bit, I think.
I've not just heard of it, Matt. I experience it on the regular. Yeah. Like, you know, so I've got plenty of first-hand experience of that. And don't be fooled, people. Just because I have a golf podcast doesn't mean that I'm a bang average golfer, okay? So I get the first tee nerves just like anyone. But, you know, it's, again, this, I think it's so fascinating, this stuff about warm-up, because, I mean, you bring up first tee nerves there, Matt. I mean, if for example, that can just help you feel more physically prepared, will lead to more mental preparedness. And we all know how, I mean, yeah, I mean, genuinely, if I look back over many, many years of playing golf now, it is, I am confident that if you were to take my scorecards and look at the average score that I get on the first hole, it's the first hole that is a blow-up hole for me almost all the time, because I don't feel prepared when I take off in my round, you know, and the start that you make in anything will often determine or influence the what will then follow, if you know what I mean. So going a bit more on to the, you know, so you're both saying how one of the things you were working on in placement was kind of putting in the standard operating procedures and documentation and things for whoever's coming in to be like an on-site physio at Brierley Forest. First and foremost, did you, in your research at all, did you get a sense if many or any golf clubs around the UK, say, or particularly the UK, are doing that already? Like, how common is that?
Personally, I don't think it's very common. I've not heard of any golf club that actually has a physio clinic in it, and I haven't found any sort of specific golf assessments, apart from maybe the Titleist Performance Institute one, but that's more of a specific assessment. It's not really like it. We was trying to put together general assessments for the start, and then we were going to streamline it further down the line, more specific assessments. But yeah, for general assessments, subjective and objective, and yeah, I'm not really seeing any sort of golf specific stuff that. So that might be something in the future that needs looking at.
What do you consider to be the prospective benefits to Brierley Forest in this case of having that physio service on site? Because I've got a few thoughts around this, and I think it's quite a promising development. But what do you two expect is going to be the positive benefits to having that there?
Well, we've spoken about this quite a bit about, obviously, as well as injuries, physios also have a big part on sort of promoting, you know, physical activity and that sort of stuff. So we feel like if you can, and there are, we've looked up so many different adaptations that you can use to equipment. So there's people that may have like, what, back pain or weak grip strength, with the help of a physio or another health profession, you can get this equipment, which will then get them playing and then hopefully then bring more people onto the golf course. And then we've done a big thing on, similar to this podcast, Chris, about how big golf is for improving mental health. So with that, then obviously you sort of, at the same time as getting people out on the golf course, you're also then tackling the mental health side of like the local area as well at the same time, and potentially you're also tackling the sedentary behaviour just through sort of promoting the how many miles you walk on a golf course, how good it is for your mental health, all that sort of stuff. Just promoting that, you'll hopefully start to tackle these problems within the population at the moment. So,
yeah, no, that's brilliant. That is really brilliant. Matt, was there anything you wanted to add on that before I talk over the top of you?
Just more sort of like on the mental health side, like, yeah, having a physio there, just someone to talk to, because obviously injuries can be quite sort of mentally draining on people, especially if they rely on things like golf for their enjoyment, for their socialising. Just having someone to talk to, because obviously as physios, we are also encouraged to help with the mental side as well, the sort of struggling with injuries. Yeah, we can maybe just give just general advice to sort of help around the house, general advice to help with golf. So I know a lot of injuries in golf are sort of overuse injuries. And then I feel like we have the tools to help with modifying so their activity. So not telling them to completely stop, but like giving them sort of ways they can modify their activity levels and range sessions, or just ways like that, really.
Yeah, the one of the kind of key headlines that's coming to mind for me here with all of this is it's taking a very sort of broad view of how just the very act of bringing a physio on site at a golf club could have a bigger impact, not just on the existing golfer who needs help with an injury, say, for example, but think about the broader benefits. Like, it's the potential external benefit as well of bringing people in getting the physiotherapy treatment, but at the same time going, golf, never thought of that before, trying out golf for the first time. It's ticking so many boxes, for want of a better word. So, really, really interesting. And so it'd be good to kind of keep an eye on how that's developing. Just going a bit deeper on physiotherapy as a subject area, I mean, so in a general sense then, you know, knowing what you two know already about physiotherapy, because you're studying it, you're working in it, but then now that you've been in golf, you've done a placement in golf, what are the main things you would like our listeners to hear or think about in terms of like the benefits of physiotherapy or our bodies and almost how we can best look after them as it relates to, you know, if we play golf? And the pair of you mentioned earlier that actually just the act of playing golf does put certain stresses on the body, right? So
yeah, so like you mentioned, Chris, it does put a lot of emphasis on the body. So I think in the research it shows, like, on the downswing, you're putting 8 times your body weight through your body, basically, which is a lot of force. And the body, and imagine you're doing that 50, 60, 70 times a round through full drives and full iron shots and stuff like that. The cumulative load does that build up over time, and then obviously you are more susceptible to injuries. As physios, so physiotherapy itself can help those injuries as well. So, like I mentioned earlier, activity modification, just education. So you could advise and sort of educate the golfer on knowledge of different conditions that are possible, or if they do have a condition, already do have an injury, educate them around that and just give them advice on how to prevent or manage that sort of condition. Because then it gives the person autonomy as well. And then if they have this information, they can make more informed decisions themselves. So they're not always relying on the physio to just tell them what to do, basically. Physio, again, I'm sure most people sort of relate it to exercise. So we can sort of offer different exercises and sort of signpost them to certain things they can do just to sort of help strengthen the surrounding tissues and sort of help with sort of the load that they will be experiencing.
Yeah, I just want to touch on what Matt briefly said then about, like, you know, the common golfing injuries and how we can help. This is one of our, we all had individual projects on the placement, didn't we, Matt? And we all had to pick a common golf injury, and then we all had to produce a leaflet or a poster for Nat to put up in the clubhouse to try and then prevent that. Say somebody had lower back pain, there'd be this leaflet there in the clubhouse that they could see. It would have like what the causes, the anatomy, physiology of it, and then it'll also have like treatment plans that you can do at home to try and prevent this. And we all picked a different injury, and I know the students that are on now, they're doing it, like some of them have scoliosis and that sort of stuff. So it's all like relevant injuries that I'm sure we all know people that have had these injuries that then, if they're in the golf club, can just go and quickly, well, not quickly, but they can see what to do easily rather than having to go find it themselves and all that. And then I just want to say that with physio and golf, I think it's made me, I just want to, that there is, anyone of all abilities can play golf with the help of physio, or like we've looked at with the biomechanics the other day about, like, just instead of standing square on with the ball, if you just either point out your lead or trail foot, then obviously you can get that rotation, taking force away from your lower back. So if you do suffer with back pain, there are simple modifications that you can do in the golf swing to prevent these injuries. And then, as I mentioned, with the equipment, there's all these different types of equipment to help people play golf. So I do just think with the right education and knowledge that anyone and everyone can play golf and will hopefully reap the benefits of playing golf.
Yeah, brilliant. Clearly, you've unearthed a lot in this placement, and it maybe brings us up to then, if you now, knowing what you know, the exposure that you've had, the experience that you've got, and what you've seen on placement as it relates to golf in general and the attitude of golfers or the attitude of the golfing industry, is there anything else at all that you've kind of observed that you've kind of thought, that feels a bit weird, or that, or sort of like there's a missed opportunity there, or wouldn't it be great if golf would do this thing a little bit differently or a bit more progressively?
Sort of going on what Harvey said earlier about sport for confidence people, I think they've started a really good movement in maybe offering golfing equipment actually in the golf club, maybe to rent or just to sort of to use, that certain people with certain pathologies and sort of conditions might make it easier to play golf essentially. So offering this different type of equipment, like even simple things like, I'm sure the cup on the end of a putter where you can just bend down. So instead of bending down to pick the ball out of the hole, you can use that cup to sort of suction the ball. Yeah, just like little bits of like equipment that'll make things easier for people. So like Harvey, I know you meant a few weeks ago you knew about some different types of tees or something that you can throw on the ground that makes it easier for people.
Yeah, essentially they're just, instead, I think they're called toss tees, and I've looked and they seem to be an American company, and I've seen if you can get them in the UK, which I'm not sure. I haven't found it yet, like not even on Amazon or anything. And essentially, these are tees that you just throw on the floor and they always land the right way up to stop people having to bend down and, you know, like push the tee in the ground when it's hard, like firm ground, it can take quite a lot, and then pick it back up. So these are just designed to, you just throw them, they land the right way up, and then it's the same as a normal tee.
I just feel like things like that, because obviously people might just not want to go out and just buy a load of equipment and then realise, oh, golf isn't for them. I think having some sort of equipment actually at the golf club where people can just go and use them for one or two sessions or whatever it may be, and then realise that they want to carry this on, and then they can go out and sort of get their own sort of equipment.
Yeah, there's a... It's sort of interesting this point you're touching on there, Matt, because again, through the time of doing this podcast, I've met some folks. There's a guy I know called Callum Cook, who's the founder of a business called Condor Kids. To the point around how expensive, for instance, golf can be to get into in the first place, and how this one of these barriers to entry is you need the equipment, and in order, the equipment itself can be quite expensive to buy a whole set of clubs. If, for example, you're brand new to it and you don't really know if you're going to stick at it long term, his model is you pay a few quid a month to rent a set, which is yours and you own it. And then, like, I think you sign up for a minimum term. It's almost like a car lease or something like that, for example, maybe. And like, you give it back after a certain period, and then they get recirculated again. So it's got a good sustainability angle to it as well. But I think I do like that point around it's I mean, this is when we talk about making golf more accessible, because by the way, this tends to be one of my bugbears sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed this in golf, is that there's a lot of language that gets used about, you know, in the context of almost diversity and inclusion and accessibility. But like for me, when I talk about making the game accessible, it's stuff like this, like actually kind of making it more affordable, or, you know, offering equipment to people who they're just not going to go out there and spend a few hundred quid on a set of golf clubs if they're not yet sure that they want to stick at it for any length of time. So is that, if I heard you right there, Matt, I mean, is that kind of the sport for confidence stuff and the equipment that they're providing? Is it adjusted equipment for people with certain conditions, or is it just equipment full stop to give them an introduction, if you know what I mean?
I think that's part of it. The main focus, I believe, is having sort of these inclusion sessions, sort of trying to get people who typically might not want to try golf or don't think they can play golf to get into it and provide these sessions. But I feel like a part of it as well is also obviously having this equipment and letting them use the equipment and seeing how they get on, really.
Okay, I think I've got one final question for you both before we wrap this thing up. So you're both now back at uni, you said it's a 2-year course, right? So what's the plan after that for both of you? And if, you know, within those plans, does golf feature anywhere in those plans, or will it be an option for you, do you think?
For me personally, I'd love to get into sort of the physio world in golf. Obviously, I mentioned before, I do play golf. I am quite into my golf, and it's something I have thought about trying to get into. It's just trying to find a pathway into it, really. Yeah, so I need to do more research around that. But yeah, I'd love to sort of get into golf. If not, maybe try to stay in sport, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm similar. Like, I'd love to get into golf, but then again, as I've already mentioned here on this podcast, that it's not that common to have physio within golf clubs, or so it's if that starts to become a more common thing, then definitely. Or but then I think originally my idea is to like go into the NHS for a couple of years, rotate around, gaining more experience, and then going in with more like specializing in something then afterwards. Hopefully by then that'll be about what, 3 years down the line, then maybe then physio within golf will be more common, and hopefully, fingers crossed, can get into it.
Brilliant.
Right. Well, this has been a great conversation. It's been, you know, I've learned a lot, and I've had plenty of cause to just ponder things more, and I'm sure that'll be the case for anyone listening to this as well. So, Matt Harvey, thanks so much. Well done on your placement. Well done on everything that you've worked on and all the research that you've done and the ideas that you've come up with. And yeah, hope you'll continue to follow us here at Golf Yourself Healthy and listen to the podcast.
Will do. Yeah, definitely.
Will do.
Wish you all the best for the future, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.